hello, and welcome to Watch What Crap Happens, the podcast for all that crap we love to talk about on you. I'm Ronnie. Hi. Hi, everybody. Look who I'm with. It's in real life. Ben.
Oh, my God. I'm here in Ronnie's beautiful in-person studio. Oh, this is so exciting.
Hello, Ben.
It feels wonderful to be on proper lighting at last.
It's not really proper today. This is like one-person lighting, but...
That's okay.
No, well, what are you going to do?
It's better lighting than what I'm normally in, because no matter how many lights I put on into my home office, for some reason, I just never have the same sumptuous balance that you have. So now I can live in your studio because I'm here in Austin, Texas with you side by side.
Because, yeah, it's nice to have you here.
Yeah, it's really exciting. It's first of all, thanks for having me. I spent the night. Oh, shit. What was that?
Did a bird?
Did a bird just in a window?
See if it was a bird.
talk about omens.
It was a bird.
Was it? Do you see the bird? Wait, hold on. I want to see. I want to look at the bird.
I don't see the bird, but there's a big splat there on the outside. Oh, my, there's a bird on your path down there.
Where is it?
It's down there on your patio.
Oh, my God. That's a bad omen. Dude.
Let me tell you something.
That is horrible. What does that mean? Okay, you guys, sorry, because
okay,
first of all, that's so fucking unprofessional, but a bird really did just fly into this big picture window, and it's dead.
It's downstairs. Dead. It's dead on his patio.
And yesterday when Ben got here, he's like, there's a dead hummingbird on my... What does this
like,
mean?
Let me tell you something. Yesterday morning, I woke up to get my airplane to come here, and I went to look at my hummingbird feeder, and there was a dead hummingbird on the feeder. I think it was Gil, who was like the asshole of the hummingbirds. So I was like, that's okay, because he bullies everyone else. And so he got what's coming to him. Bullies deserve it. But it was like that. I was like, that feels complicated. Don't look up the omen of a dead bird. No, don't curse. No, wait. Look it up tomorrow. Don't look
really?
It up today. Don't look it up today.
Why?
I'll tell you why.
Okay, don't read it.
No. Don't look up the dead bird omen. The reason why...
I mean, it's pretty on the nose what it would be, right?
Well, for someone who has to fly tomorrow, I don't want to find out about like the omens of a dead bird.
Oh, God.
But also, there was a dead hummingbird, and then I woke up this morning and found out that my elderly cousin, Melvina, had passed away. So this is a very ominous thing. By the way, rest in peace, Melvina. She was 98. You know, she lived a full life.
Yeah, and so we already RIP'd her this morning.
Yeah.
And then we thought, that's it.
That's it.
That's the end of the omen. We've discovered what it was, and now another fucking bird just plopped right into the window.
Right when we're being joyous together.
This is not okay. I'm not really sure. Like, who do you complain to? God? Like, just call God customer service? Like, what the fuck, bro?
Maybe the bird was a Barbie fan. Either way... Maybe the bird is distraught about the Oscars. The reason why I am here next to Ronnie experiencing bad omens with him is because we are going to the iHeart Podcast Awards tonight. We are nominated for Best Pop Culture Podcast. We're really excited, and we hope everyone comes and watches it online. You can watch it on YouTube. They're streaming it on their site. So we'll put the link up. I think I put it up on Instagram over the weekend, but we'll put it up again because we want you to come watch.
Hold some crystals. We'll Ronnie's feel better about some little crystals.
We're holding
on my
up
desk.
A crystal. We're holding up a crystal.
Because... No, I don't seem like I would be the type, but I am.
By the way, it's a big ass bird that is now on Ronnie's patio.
Well, that's terrible.
Do you think Bueller?
I'm gonna have to go clean it. No, I'm not gonna. Bueller will eat it. That's how dogs are.
How do you plan to clean it?
I'm gonna take a plastic bag, like a pick up poop, like a grocery plastic bag, and I'm gonna pick it up, and I'm gonna pray for it. And I'm gonna go.
I use tongs to get to take the hummingbird off of the feeder.
Or I could just throw it over that fence there because there's nobody there. And then those. But you know, I give so much shit to Olivia on Southern Charm for throwing poop over the fence. I can't throw a dead person.
But a dead bird. It's not a dead person, first of all.
Well, there's so many animals, but I don't want the animals eating it. And also, we might see vultures because you know there's vultures here, and they come right in and they'll probably take it.
Maybe it's a better reason to move this giant bird. It looked like it was like a quail or a... Do you have quails here?
I don't know. I don't know all the birds. All I know is the neighborhood peacock who walks around crying like this.
Well, that's probably why the bird crashed into the window.
Such a victim, that fucking peacock. Okay, anyway.
I really can't believe a bird like.
Anyway, welcome to probably our last show before we both die of high blood pressure today in Austin. Welcome. Thank you so much for being here. This is the, you know, I'll tell you who did die. It's good that we got that right before. Murder! Because this is a traitor's recap.
Did Kate do that?
It's the finale traitor's recap.
Murder. What a macabre way to start our murder podcast. Yeah.
Phaedra just killed that fucking bird. So here we are. Get tickets for our European stint in May. That's going to be in London, Dublin, and Birmingham. So we're doing that. And then also we're doing the Netflix is a Joke Comedy Festival in LA. You don't have to buy comedy festival tickets. Just buy normal, regular tickets. It's at the Kookaburra Lounge in the Highland and Hollywood Center, which is now called The Overture, right?
The Ovation.
The Ovation. We're going to be there in May as well. And also, this is a video. If you want this, Patreon videos, Crappens on Demand. If you want the videos but do not want to pay, you can get them the week after for free on YouTube. Okay? And we're also doing bonuses over there. We did the Erica Jane special. I know a lot of you were mad that we did that. I'm not watching that without taking notes. I'm not watching something and not... I'm sorry. Okay, I'm sorry. I know you're mad, whatever. I watched it and I trashed it. So
I know one person who's not mad at us about it. That bird, because it's dead now.
That was the bird's protest. It heard we did that episode and it killed itself on a window.
The bird's like, I want to go complain to them. Oh no, I got killed. I have to say, by the way, a perk of Crappens on Demand is that you can actually watch our faces as we react to the sound of a bird hitting the window and then look at it and then scamper away from the live podcast we're doing to look at the dead bird.
Seriously. Okay, so here we go. Some traitors, episode 11. And the final hurdle. So Kate is left all alone in the castle. She's like, this was harder than I thought. Like, first I was like, yay, but now I'm like, gross. So
what a disgusting task I have to do. This is so hard. And so she's in the turret and Alan comes and joins her and she's like, well, the first thing I want to do is redecorate in here. Obviously it's disgusting. I wish I had some stews to put up some decorations here.
And she's like, you know, I mean, Phaedra brings me to the turret, Alan, and she has zero plans. Okay, what are your plans? How do you make plans? You know, you're just killing random people. Now, of course, it's easier in hindsight to say you should have just killed the winners, right? Mm. But in hindsight, it is easy to say that because the fucking winners were a team and they told everybody they're a team. They told everybody, I'm never going to fuck this person over ever. I'm going to go to the end with this person.
Yeah.
And that's it. And everybody is like, whatever. And they just let these people go all the way to the end. What the hell?
You know what? I actually feel like I'm mad at this bird for dying right now because I feel like it fully distracted me from really expressing how much rage this finale created for me. I was so mad. Yeah. I could not believe it. But I also think that's what's great about this show is that this is a show where the people who brand themselves as the most faithful of the faithful all season long emerge as the biggest traitors of all.
Biggest assholes of all. And everybody should have known because they're from the biggest asshole show. Challenge where they just fuck you over all the time. That's what they do.
Let me tell you something. Ron and I used to work for Buda Murray, which produces The Challenge.
Yeah.
And we were around all these people you were around them more than I was. But I just remember one day walking into the office and CT was standing there with Derek. Remember Derek?
Mm-hmm.
And they were both standing flanking the doors. And I had to walk right between the two of them. And they were comparing MySpace followers because that's. That's how long ago it was.
Yeah.
But CT was like, yeah, I think I got like a few thousand now. And Dark's like, yeah, I got a whole bunch of MySpace followers. And they were just like having a pissing contest about MySpace followers.
Wow.
And I was like watching the traders. I was like, you know, CT's come a long way. He's really grown up. But now I'm like, no, you're still the same CT who sits in a public space and talks about how many followers you have on MySpace.
Well, that said, I mean, they are playing a game about money. I think a lot of people got super angry at them. Get the fuck over it. It's a game about screwing each other over for money. Like, what part of people getting murdered and banished every episode do you people not understand? That's the point. Now, here's the thing. People, to me, it just proved like people like Trishelle, bossy people who blame everybody for every little thing are really the guilty ones. And they walk away with the sack of money every fucking time. And if you don't believe me that horrible people run everything, look around you. Okay. Yeah. Look at your bosses at work. Look at the people who move up at work. Look at your government. Okay. Have you gone to the doctor lately and checked out your doctor's bill? The government did that to you. Okay. Look at them. All you out there fucking rah, rah, rahing for your government right now. Look what they're doing. Okay. This is why Trishelle won. You vote better.
I love that you basically just blamed Trishelle for all the ills of our society.
Yeah. Thanks, Trishelle.
But it's true, though. I mean, it is true. I think the issue is it is a game, yes. But I think what's just so hard is that, like, Trishelle was so sanctimonious this entire time. I mean, and then, of course, you know, she didn't really think CT was, you know, we're getting ahead of ourselves. Let's just get back. It is my fault.
Okay. So, Kate, Alan's like, how do you feel about everybody? And she's like, well, I mean, I like them, which is so weird. I don't like anybody. God, like literally nobody. But I guess I like all of them. Is it because they don't talk very much? Is it because I became late and I haven't seen the real them? I don't know. I kind of hate them. I'm talking myself into hating them. Can I just kill everybody? Hand me that torch.
Can I kill Fergus? She's like, you know, I mean, so she's basically saying like, well, CT has muscle, which is good for the prize pod, and MJ has a shield, so she's not going to think about them. So that really just leaves Sheree and Trishelle, and she's going to keep Sandra because there is suspicion on her, so that's she's going to keep her, which is like, finally, someone is thinking with a brain in the turret, like, oh, if people are suspicious of someone, let's not kill them, let's use them as a red herring. So it's between Sheree and Trishelle, so I thought she was going to kill Trishelle, because it's Trishelle, as we bane of our society, and Sheree doesn't really know what's going on. But she's torn because I think she wants to throw people off the scent that the murderer is from within the Bravo network club.
Well, unfortunately, they already know, because Kate was kind of obvious when she tipped everybody off when she got so upset with Phaedra,
yeah,
you know, and called Phaedra selfish and all that stuff. And so she's already kind of screwed. And at this point, it's a numbers game, and she should have kept the Bravo people. Cause one thing I don't think the Bravo people understood is that they need each other. I think the gamers made the Bravo people feel like if you aren't willing to vote against each other, you're fucking losers and you're terrible at this game. And you know.
Yeah.
If you're honest with, like, if you stick together, you're terrible people. But they won by sticking together.
That's exactly, you know? Right.
Fucking guilting you into behaving a certain way and then betraying you. So, yeah, fuckers.
They definitely got played.
Yeah. So then, let's see. So she decides who she's going to kill. You know, we're all hoping for Trishelle. I thought for sure it was going to be Trishelle.
Yeah.
How has Trishelle made it this long? Literally, she's the yappiest fucking person in the. It's the squeaky wheel gets the most grease thing.
Well,
where everybody kisses the ass of the squeakiest grill. The squeakiest wheel. I've always said, don't put grease on squeaky wheels. Replace the fucking wheel.
Yeah.
Why are we always trying to grease broken shit?
Why do we replace the wheels? We have Amazon now. We can have new wheels.
Replace the wheel. Sell something. Sell your other wheel. Sell the squeaky wheel. And buy a new wheel that doesn't squeak.
That doesn't squeak. Because I don't think it's standard that all wheels have to squeak anymore. Okay, we're not living in 1933.
Change the wheel. And also, that goes for the people in your life, too. If they're fucking squeaking all the time, get rid of them. There's like a bill. Look at how many McDonald's hamburgers have been served. Billions, okay? Who do you think ate those? People. You don't need to spend your time with these fucking losers. Get rid of the Trishelles and bring in better hamburger-eating people.
Yeah. So, Alan's like, it's the final day.
I'm on one just because you're here today.
I know.
I'm just yelling about everything today. I'm really furious now about the government and hamburgers.
And the bird. So, it's the final day.
The bird. Thanks a lot.
But either a traitor or the faithful will get to walk away with the prize of up to $250,000. And, but after last night's murder, whose blood was spilled? So, MJ enters first and she's excited and everything. She's like, you know, I am happy that MJ made it to the finale, because I've been saying actually for several weeks.
You have,
I think that she's going to make it to the end. I thought she was going to win the whole thing and my prediction would have been right, except for Trishelle and CT. And so, CT comes in next and he's like, well, I made it to the final. Made it to the final. I'm pumped. It's been a while since I've done a show and it's been one of the best times of my life. And like, you know, I'm like, still how Stella got her groove back or something. It's wicked awesome. It's like how Noma got his groove back. It's awesome. Boston, go red. Go Red Sox.
So he figures something's up with Kate, right? Because she acted weird, which we've already talked about. And then he talks to MJ about that. And she's like, yeah, I mean, CT thinks that Kate's a traitor, but like, Kate just like gives me faithful energy, you know?
Yeah, my gut tells me Sandra's a traitor. I mean, she's a gamer. She's a military woman. So go, okay.
Jeez. So someone's not tying a ribbon around an old oak tree. Yeah. Taking it. So then Kate comes in and
that's such an old, I forgot about that. I was like, that took me back to sixth grade.
I know, right? I'm just like, don't trust her. She's in the military. Jeez. So then Kate talks about how last time she was here, she went all the way to the end and got nothing. And this time could be different. So they're talking about like, oh my God, you know, who's going to be gone? Everybody left is such a strong person. And then Sandra comes in next and she's like, I'm into final and I cannot believe it. Yeah.
And she thinks that Kate's a traitor because obviously, like you said, Kate really gave herself away. So CT's like, well, so how many we got left? One or two? How many? What? How many traitors? So Sandra's
this
like,
this is where they started. I'm sorry. This is where they should have started working it against Trishelle.
Yeah. Well, that was always my issue. I think I said this last week. I've said this to umpteen people since this happened. Trishelle has played this game with utter privilege in the sense that she's never had to be on defense ever, 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 ever. She's always been on offense. And so she's had the luxury of being able to lob out accusations without having to deal with the utter inconvenience of having to defend herself and her honor and her decisions without any suspicion. Yeah. And that gives you a huge advantage. And I don't know why no one was planting a seed. Like, yes, everyone's like, well, we know in our heart of hearts that Trishelle is good and CT is good. Well, you don't know. I mean, look at Ceri last season. That's what they thought about Ceri. I don't know why there was never a seed that was just planted that, like, you know, all this time we thought Trishelle has been like the best of the best, but like, do we actually know this? We just assume this. And look, Sheree's just been killed. Who knows?
Well, they have to switch it at this point, switch a strategy and be like, okay, well, Trishelle, because her thing has been, why would I kill everybody on my own team? That doesn't even make any sense. So I can't be a traitor, right? Which actually makes sense when you're watching the show. But at this point, they should have been like, oh, she's killing everybody from her team
to make it look like
frame everybody else because exactly. There can only be one or two winners or three winners or whatever at the end. Everybody can't win. So no one's on her team. She's on her own team. And that's why she's framing everybody else and complaining the most and bullying everybody because bullies always get away with everything because exactly. Everybody doesn't want to be pushed into a locker.
I don't know why no one is doing this with Trishelle, but anyway.
But it's so easy at the end, right? Because Trishelle's also that kind of person where I see why you would keep Trishelle because she's just such a gross person that I think people are like, well, someone's going to kick off Trishelle. Someone's going to murder her ass or banish her. Like, she's terrible, yeah. You know? And they just never do. Like,
well, because honestly, would you voluntarily get rid of someone who brings so many fashionable berets into the house?
Yes.
She's high fashion, guys.
She would have been number one for me. I hate a badly placed hat. I hate it. Like, there's like a reason that Kyle Richards will never win with me, and it's the hats. It's the fucking hats. It always has been.
Always. So anyway, Sheree is murdered, which I thought was a strange choice because Sheree doesn't seem to know what's going on. And then, you know, we see, you know, Kate flashback to Kate murdering her and saying, you know, that this is going to take some suspicion off of her, the Bravo Network Club, etc. And then we see Sheree receiving her letter and Sheree is like, well, you know, I've been figuring things out. And what I have figured out is that Kate is a traitor. And let me talk about the banishment last night. Kate came in hot. And it was written all over her face. And she couldn't even make eye contact with Phaedra. She wouldn't even look at Phaedra. She just sat there with this pouty look on her face. It's like, oh, suddenly Sheree is going to decide to play the game at the very last second.
Yeah. Well, you know, she gets things late. Yeah. Like, I really love watching mysteries.
Like her
but I never
line.
Guess them until the very end. And then I act so smart when I've guessed it. I'm like, oh my God, I knew it. I knew it the whole time. I did not know it.
Yeah.
That's why I like those shows. I'm confused the entire time.
And then you piece it together with like half a second. You're like, oh, I knew it.
Called it.
Yeah. Knew it.
Or if I'm watching with somebody else, I'll keep saying, they did it. That guy did it. The boyfriend always did it. And then I'll be like, oh my God, the guy at the store did it. It's always the guy at the store who did it. It was the cousin. It's always the cousin. And then when one of them is the killer, I'm like, see?
Yeah. That's the thing. It's like you cover the spread. Yeah. You know? It's like betting everything on roulette.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
In the 1980s, Frank Farian was riding high as a successful German music producer, but he was bored.
German pop was formulaic, dull, and oh so white. Frank had bigger dreams, American dreams. He wanted to create the kind of music that would rival larger-than-life artists like Michael Jackson or Run DMC.
So he assembled a hip-hop duo, two once-in-a-lifetime talents who were charismatic, full of sex appeal, and phenomenal dancers. The only problem? One very important element was missing, but Frank knew just how to fix that.
Wondery's new podcast, Blame It on the Fame, dives into one of pop music's biggest controversies. Milli Vanilli set the world on fire, but when their adoring fans learned about the infamous lip-syncing, their downfall was swift and brutal. With exclusive interviews from frontman Fab Morvan and his producers Frank Farian and Ingrid Segui, this podcast takes a fresh look at the exploitation of two young Black artists.
Follow Blame It on the Fame wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to Blame It on the Fame early and ad-free by joining Wondery Plus.
If you don't know when Crystal Pepsi was discontinued, what was in Al Capone's vault, or which famous meteorologist is Lenny Kravitz's second cousin, then you haven't spent enough time on Wikipedia. But that's okay. I am here for you. I'm Darcy Carden, and I'm inviting you to listen to my new podcast, WikiHole, from Smartless Media. Discover the craziest rabbit holes on Wikipedia with me and my funny friends as we bring the cyber frontier directly to your tympanic membrane. And if you listen to my podcast, you learn that that's the sciencey term for eardrum. We embark on a hyperlink roller coaster as we start out on a Wikipedia page and go from link to link to link to link, careening through trivia, oddities, and unexpected connections until we collectively shout, "How the hell did we get here?" Follow WikiHole on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to WikiHole ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
It's the first time I went gambling at Foxwoods when I was like 21. There's like a wheel, a non-squeaky wheel of fortune, and I bet on every value. I thought I was being so smart because I was like, well, one of them is going to hit. So therefore, like when one of them hits, I'm gonna make all this money back.
$40 to make $20.
So yeah, I put money on like every single value, and then the lowest value hit, and I got $2 back and lost like $40 on everything else.
Yeah, I'm gonna get you. I thought you was paying attention. Casino bosses.
I like that I, as the 21-year-old, was gonna pull one over the eyes of the casino. Yeah,
you're gonna really show them.
You found the trick.
I was a real charade in the casino.
Okay, so Charade has suddenly got this all together, right? So MJ's like, well, they murdered Charade. That's got to be a clue that Charade's dead.
I guess. It's got to be an omen.
So she's like, you know, this is giving me Sandra Murder energy. Because, you know, MJ is really, like, you just put one little seed in her head and it immediately blooms into a beautiful flower. She's like, you know who's guilty? Kate. No, it's Sandra. It's Sandra. It's 100%.
She was in the military. This looked like it was I could swear when I woke up this morning I heard a bugle.
So then they do a cheers to the final five, because it was Sandra doing the cheers. There was a lot of whisper talking behind us. So Alan comes in, and is this where he had the pashmina? That was later, right?
Pashmina. Here's where he had a very kind of like preppy haircut, and he's like, "Good morning, my fearless five. Last night, while you were all dreaming of awaiting which is the traitor regrouped for old time's sake, and for them, it was a case of hip hop sherry.
No, hip hip sherry.
Oh, hip hip sherry.
Like hip hip sherry. Hip hip sherry.
I read that wrong.
She's murdered. So now it's a sprint to the finish. And it's a real mountain of a time. I hope you all like what I've got planned for you." Because he's dropping his little clues about what's in this finale challenge. Now, I have to warn you, when it gets to this finale challenge, I don't know what it is. I think it's the physical exertion of it all. I just can't. Like, there was a movie the Oscars were last night, as you guys know, and there was a movie. I didn't even know this was a movie. Like, Jodie Foster was nominated for an Oscar. I didn't even know this. And yeah, it was some movie about sports with Annette Bening about running. I mean, I can't. I can't even believe I remembered it this morning because I blocked it out and it looked like a joke. Like, I looked it up while we were watching it and I was like, this has to be a joke. It looks like a joke poster. How can anybody nominate a sports movie? Those are disgusting. That is such trash. I'm mad at Jodie Foster for even making, and Annette Bening, who I've invoked a million times in these recaps because Parvati looks like a young Annette Bening. I didn't even know Annette Bening was back in a film.
Well, at least Parvati can win something. Am I right?
All Annette Bening needed was a really hideous headband to bring her some luck last night. She couldn't even do that right.
Please welcome 5-time Oscar-losing actress Annette Bening. Hi.
The winner of tonight's Oscar award, Parvati's headband.
It was a really close call. A Glenn close call. She's lost 8 Oscars. Wow. Ron and I basically did Padma Lakshmi doing the Oscars. We watched it together. We should have recorded it, but we watched it together and we spent the entire time talking like Padma Lakshmi at the Oscars. It was a delight.
As one does. So now it's time for the challenge. And Sandra's like, okay, the way that I'm going to get the end, my strategy is there's one coffee cup and one cell phone. And then the coffee cup goes over the cell phone, but then a fingernail goes into the teeth and gets out a little bit of breakfast toast from it. I'm like, okay, we get it.
She loves a small prop. So Kate, Trishelle, and MJ, they go to talk in a room, and then CT goes with Sandra into a different room, and CT's like, so how's this going to go? It would be such a good look if the Faithfuls win. She goes, yeah, absolutely. You know, we got to start with Kate. She hasn't been here long enough, and she had a bone to pick with Phaedra. And basically, Sandra's on to Kate. Sandra feels it in her bones, and CT's like, yeah,
that doesn't make sense why she gets so mad about it. Yeah.
And he's like, look, we only need 3 votes. And Sandra's like, we need to get Kate out, and that's it. We're here. So in the other room, though, Trishelle is talking with Kate and MJ, and Trishelle's like, okay, all right, hello, resident fashionista is here, and we need to talk about something, okay? And I'm talking about tonight. Like, what do y'all think about Sandra?
And Kate's like, well, I mean, I know that she's one survivor. Twice? She's like, oh my God, really? That's crazy. She's brilliant. Only brilliant people would survive her.
What a brilliant military person. Am I right, MJ? God, those military people.
So they think if she's at breakfast today, MJ was like, if she's at breakfast today, I told myself if she's at breakfast today, she's the murderer. So they are doing a turn on Sandra now. So meanwhile, CT and Trishelle are talking, or Trishelle goes to CT to talk. And they're like, wait a minute. He said, what did MJ say? And she's like, she thinks it's Sandra. So I think, you know, both of them want to get Sandra, but it could be Trey. And he's like, yeah, you know, Kate acted real funny yesterday. I don't really get what's going on with her. And she's like, yeah. So here we need 3 votes. I'm a vote. You're a vote. And Sandra's a vote. That's 3 people. So we need to get rid of Kate. We need to get rid of Kate. Call the police. I'm sick of it. I've had it with her.
I'd like to call the manager on Kate, please.
I feel terrible calling the police on a fellow blonde white lady. But I will do it to win this game.
CT and I said that we're going to be taking each other to the end of the game. And we have a lot of history. And I've known him for 20 years. And now I know I can trust him because he holds a purse great when I'm talking to the manager. Okay? So the plan is...
I know this much about him. He's not a drag queen.
So CT's like, okay, we got a really good chance of winning this together. So they're like, yeah, we're going to do this. So now a helicopter comes to pick them up. So we're going to go into like this physical challenge, sort of what you were saying. You know, I don't love the challenges on the show. Sometimes they're really funny and I can get involved in them, but they don't really they're very inconsequential. And this was the most inconsequential of all the challenges. And it was also the most uninteresting of all the challenges. It was just them running along the seaside. They were like running on a rocky seaside,
yeah,
pulling up lobster traps with ropes and then like going down a cliff. And then it just was very blah.
Well, you know, I had a friend, Kimberly. Hi, Kimberly. She was on Cupcake Wars, okay? And I shouldn't be talking about this because I'm sure there were
Kimberly,
MDs.
Kimberly, that's the one that I know?
Yeah.
She was on Cupcake Wars. Wow.
She was on Cupcake Wars. And she said that, so, you know what? I shouldn't tell this story. I'm going to have to save this for another time. Because what if she does get in trouble?
Is it like an NDA?
I said her name. Yeah.
Well, you haven't said anything.
Okay, let me talk about another friend I know who is on Smop Smith. Okay, for 1 second. They got kicked off first.
Okay.
They said sometimes the timers are bullshit.
Well, obviously.
And this show, Kimberly didn't say that though.
No, but I mean, but this show, it's obvious that the timers are always, it's always at 7 seconds that they finish things.
It's like it shows CT going up a mountain, going through a river, flying in a helicopter.
5 seconds left, and he's like.
They show him in Texas on a horse, and he's back.
He's at customs.
And they're like, it's
30 seconds left, CT.
You've had 18 minutes. It's like he's been to the moon. Like we see him planting a flag on the moon. Like, wait a minute.
Yeah, no, this is at one. They get into.
Oh my God, did I just get my friend sued?
No. But they have to get into like a little dinghy. They have to get into like a little dinghy and then like go out to this boat and they have to get on the boat and then they have to raise a flag. And as they're like going to the boat, they're like, 90 seconds left. I'm like, it's going to take 5 minutes to get to that boat.
It's like on Top Chef, speaking of, when they're like, you have 30 minutes in this quick fire to make me a roast chicken, gnocchi, and spaghetti. From scratch. And they all do it. That's bullshit. I can't even cut a salad in 30 minutes, okay? Yeah. Cutting all the vegetables, shaking up a little vinegar with the thing. I just don't believe these timers. They're lies.
Yeah, I don't believe any of it. So, yeah. So they... Because you know also, like, it takes 2 minutes to get to the boat. And then once they get to the boat, they still have to get onto the boat. And you're going to tell me that, like, Sandra, MJ, and Kate are going to just, like, just get on that boat. And no, it's going to take a... It's going to be a process.
Yeah. Okay, so a lot of this stuff happens. I don't watch it.
It goes on for a very long time.
It goes on. I was taking, you know, kind of notes, but I wasn't really watching it. But there was a lot of very majestic music playing while I was looking through my phone. I took it as like swiping. It's like, there Ronnie goes, swiping up the Instagram. Oh, look at Ronnie looking at Countess Luann's page on the Instagram. Is it murder?
Hurry up. So they raise a sail. It's a lot. It's a lot. It goes on.
It's exhausting.
It goes on.
It's like literally exhausting.
15 minutes. I don't think we need any of it. Okay. We just want scheming.
But they won $50,000. So that was good. NCT's like, we did it. I'm so proud of us, but it's not over yet. My life has changed and now it's going to change even more.
So now they're getting in the cars. And Kate and CT are in a car together, and they're sort of just joking and talking, whatever. And, you know, just Kate's like, so MJ told me today, hey, Sandra, I was like, I'm down with that because I love Sandra. But like, she's also like such an obvious gamer. And CT's like, yeah, she's also a gamer. Speaking of which, gamer, are you a traitor? And she's like, me? How dare you? That's like so rude. Like, why would you even say that? I'm like, Kate, just say no. Don't do the questions. Say
no. I
think
she actually handled this one pretty well because she's like, you know, actually, like, I was really proud because, like, I was able to spot the traitor, you know? And it's just, like, annoying to me that you think that wasn't a skill. You think it's just because, like, I knew? I mean, come on. And so he's like, you know what? She's pretty convincing, actually.
Yeah.
Which she is.
It works. Yeah. And so CT's like.
I mean, not that well.
Yeah.
But it was the best she could do, I think, in that.
Yeah. But she's basically like, you know, she's like acts all offended and everything and is able to like turn the table against Sandra and be like, yeah, I think like Sandra's like bad and everything. And and he's like, yeah, he's like, you know what? Like me and Trishelle were talking this morning and she wants to vote for Kate. But I got to say, though, Kate's convincing. I'm starting to second guess. I mean, this game, I'm telling you, this game, there's always another twist. I'm like, you don't get to complain about twists after what happens at the end of this episode, sir.
Yeah. So he's talking to Sandra now, and Sandra thinks MJ is a faithful. She's like, I feel it in my bones. She's a faithful. But we do need to separate her from Kate, those Bravo ladies, that's for sure. And so then Kate's like, has a soup. Which, as we know, is a total sign of guilt on this show.
Yeah.
The person who comes in talking about food, she's inherited that from Phaedra, the traitor.
Well, but importantly, before even the soup thing, CT tells Sandra, he's like, by the way, you know, MJ and Kate, are they're going to vote for
you.
Oh,
you're right. Yeah, yeah.
They're going to vote for you. And Sandra's like, what? So then she goes into the kitchen where Kate is trying the soup.
Yes. So she's trying to test her out. And Kate's like, how's the soup? Boiled eggs? Does it work for me? And Sandra's like, I want to pick your brain, okay? Let's get down to the nitty-gritty. What's going to happen at this round table? She's like, well, I think there are going to be surprises.
Yeah, you know, like a bird crash against the window, things like that. And Sandra's like, she's like, well, CT told me that you brought my name up. And she goes, oh, well, no, I mean, I don't think you're a traitor at all. I mean, 4 days ago, I thought I saw a different side of you. And, you know, it was weird that you were lighting up ketchup bottles instead of billiard balls. I thought, that's strange. It's a different kind of look for her. But like, you know, I'm not the one shopping your name around. You know, I talked to CT in the car and, you know, I wish he hadn't said it that way because I don't want to put you out. But basically it was CT who said it, not me.
She's like, well, when I hear that, I think there's ulterior motives. So she's like, uh-huh. She just lets her spin, which is probably smart, you know? So she's like, okay, so then if CT, Trishel, and me go for you, then you're gone. And Kate's just like,
Did I mention tomato soup? Boiled eggs?
Boiled eggs?
She's like, okay, you're right. So let's vote against them then. So she's like, basically, we need 3 votes.
Okay, please put down the balls. Put down the balls, please.
Here's how it's going to work.
No, there's only 5 people left. You don't even have to use any visual aids. We sort of get 3 against 2. Yeah. So
3 is more balls than 2 balls. If there's 3 balls and 1 ball, that's two healthy men separated. Does that make any sense to you?
Okay, now you're just confusing me.
Okay. All right. Please stop trying to take my shoe off my foot. We don't need to use shoes in this. No, I think it'll really make sense if I use your shoe. But basically, Sandra's like, well, then what if you, me, and MJ vote against CT? So then, of course, Kate goes over to CT and goes, and he's like, oh, Kate, I thought you were avoiding me. I was like, oh, is she campaigning against me?
Huh. Well, it sounds like that's what you're doing. Because guess what? Sandra just told me that you wanted to vote against me. And he's like, oh.
So, but then it's great because she makes him be on defense about like what he was saying. And then she's able to turn it against Sandra because then she's like, oh, well, you know what? Sandra said that she's voting for you. Because Kate got Sandra to say that she was going to vote for CT.
I know.
This is classic Survivor happening.
Right it now. Is, but... I mean, of course, in hindsight, it's 2020, and I wasn't there, obviously. It's so easy to, like, armchair ref this stuff. But wouldn't it have been better of her just not to go to CT and put him on the defensive and just vote out CT? I mean, why would they need to get Sandra out over CT? CT has the team with Trishel, so it would have been better to let Sandra stay because she's a lone wolf.
Yeah, I think that Kate was just going for wherever she felt there was most doubt. And maybe she just felt like CT, it seemed like CT really was doubting Sandra more than Sandra was doubting CT.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. But she knows that CT's the one going behind her back.
So, right.
But I don't know.
I'm assuming, she's pitting them both against each other. And I think then she's waiting for the round table to decide which way it's going to go.
Right. Okay. So let's see. So CT's like, oh God, everybody's telling everybody everybody wants to hear. And I just thought, like, why does she vote for me? Like, that don't make sense. Something's happening here.
Do you think he found some scotch in the castle, by the way?
I think so.
Because he's drunk reunion, right? By the reunion. I know it's not the same day, but the reunion is like,
here's what you guys do when you're talking about this game.
Yeah, you're like gold Pats. Bring Tom Brady back.
Yeah,
Bill Belichick, he's a good guy, but he maybe needs to go.
Well, it's time for the final round table.
Is this where he wears the pashmina?
Yes.
Oh my God, this pashmina. Good Lord, this bedazzled ass pashmina. So he comes in looking all cray cray. And this wasn't my favorite. Can you tell? I normally love his like fabulous fashions. This was not one of them. I thought this was very like felt from like, I don't know if you had to do this in like Hebrew school, but in Jesus school, we used to have to make these big felt. Oh, maybe that's why I've got these felt things in here. Maybe. It's like my childhood. But we had to make these big felt things. You put like a big felt banner up and then you cut little felt pieces and then you make Jesus-y things like Joseph, like the nativity scene. It's like they're in a barn and they just had a baby. It's like a little felt baby. How am I talking about
His pashmina, I believe.
His pashmina looked like one of those Jesus-y felt things, except it was bedazzled, which is always what I wanted to do with those felt things. And it was, so maybe I do.
So you're
like
just
it.
Jealous.
Yeah.
You're just jealous that your Jesus school arts and craft dreams.
Jesus, and really... he gets to fucking glitter up his and wear it as a pashmina.
Yeah. Well, I liked it because I don't have any baggage from Jesus school. So it was just like a pure pashmina experience for me. So I liked it. So we come, so that's the final round table. Welcome players to the great hall of gargantuan lies and grandiose bluster. For this, the final round table. Murder!
Your prize now stands at a staggering $208,000 with $100 on the, otherwise known as Juliana Margulies's payment for 10 minutes of being on The Good Wife. Not that I'm bitter about that one, but.
208,100, also known as the number of times Gail has sat on eggs this week. Hi, surprise, it's Padma. You thought it was Alan, but it's me all along.
Spoiler alert, the only thing that hatched was an egg sandwich. How does that even make sense?
Spoiler alert, literally don't enter her fridge. Something went spoiled.
Spoiler alert, but Gail's breath sounds like every time she burps.
Spoiler alert, Gail's also at the round table. Pizza.
So, by the way, $208,000. What cheap fucks.
I know, to split.
I mean, I saw this article once. You know the girl from the show about teenagers doing drugs and fucking? What's that called?
Oh, on emphysema? HBO. No.
Emphysema?
What's it called?
Oh, don't play with that. I spit on it.
It's called...
eat this pen.
Euphoria.
Euphoria. Okay, so there's a girl from Euphoria.
It could be called
emphysema. Allison Sweeney, that's her name. Emphysema. No, that's Euphoria.
Allison Sweeney from The Biggest Loser?
No. Isn't there a Sweeney? There's an actress named Sweeney. Look, let's look.
Who's Allison Sweeney?
People are hitting our steering rails.
Isn't Allison Sweeney the biggest, like the soap?
Yeah. Euphoria.
Allison Sweeney's like, wait, I got cast in Euphoria. I'm back, baby.
Sydney Sweeney.
Oh, Sydney Sweeney.
Yeah, yes. Sorry. Sydney Sweeney. She's slightly better than Howdy. Allison. She's no offense, good. Allison. Loved your work as Billy Reed's nemesis. What was her name? She was in love with Austin. She was Carrie's sister, Sammy. She played Sammy. Okay, anyway, Sydney the point Sweeney. Is Sydney
very
Sweeney.
Very pouty.
Yeah, I saw this article and she's like, actors don't even make any money anymore these days. Yeah. Like, we live like the poor. We're like the blue collar people of Hollywood. My house is only like $500,000 and I still can't pay it. And I drive a shitty car. Like, she was bitching about, and I get it because like shows are only 10 episodes and they're like, oh, you're going to get $10,000 an episode. I get it. But anyway, the point is, I was thinking, you're not the real blue collar worker. These poor reality show people. I mean, my God, $200,000 to split.
Sydney Sweeney, I know you may not be making as much money as your predecessors, but are you also having to run around a cliff in the cold Scottish fall, like in that picking up lobster traps? I mean, you're still being catered to on hand and foot in a star wagon and on your studios, and I'm talking like Meredith Marks now for some reason. I'm litigating this case.
Yeah. That was a really long road I took to get to that point, but I feel like there should be more money. You know what I mean? A banana costs $97 now.
Yeah, $200,000. Well, technically it was on them to earn more money, but I agree. But also, like, one of the issues with the traders is that, like, if you're faithful, maybe you're not totally incentivized to get rid of traders. You just want to make it to the end because you don't want to split that prize pot with too many people, right?
Yeah.
But I guess you're always going to, it's they're never going to allow the show to end early, right? Like, it's always going to come down to like about four or five people because they'll just always, once a trader gets voted off, they'll just replace it with a new trader.
Well, last year it didn't.
Last year it came down to like four, three.
Wasn't it two?
Yeah, last year it was Quentin and Andy as the last two remaining faithful. And Suri.
Ari.
Well, Ari was a bad guy at that point.
Right. Okay, I forgot.
But the point is this, like, if they had, like, the producers were not going to allow an early traitor routing, right? Like, the faithful would have won when they got rid of Phaedra. But they allow the constant recruiting, so that way the show can reach its full episode order.
I think they still need to work on, I mean, I know this format's great and everything, that's like proving to be very successful. I think they need to work on it. The ending still is confusing to me. Not confusing. I need like a more solid way than just like, we stand around a fire of death or whatever yeah. it is. A colored fire gender reveal. Is your baby a piggy or a carny?
It does. Like, I would like some codified rules. I feel like we got there. Now we know the official rule is anytime a traitor is voted out, there's an opportunity to recruit a new one. And we now know they can continue to vote each other out until there's only two left.
Yeah.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
Hey, grownups. The Cat in the Hat cast is a new podcast from Wondery, perfect for the whole family. Join the Cat in the Hat and your favorite Dr. Seuss characters as they get whisked away on a new adventure every week. Fish dreams of creating his very own polite and quiet podcast. That is, until he gets a surprise visit to his Fishbowl podcast studio from the Cat in the Hat himself, and it becomes very clear that the cat has other plans for the podcast. And those plans are the opposite of quiet. Sing along to new favorite songs, try your luck at Titanic tongue twisters, have some fun with wondrous wordplay, and most importantly, bring your family along for all of the adventures in the Cat in the Hat cast. Follow the Cat in the Hat cast on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to the Cat in the Hat cast early and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Wondery Kids Plus on Apple Podcasts today.
Okay, so anyway, they're at this final roundtable still. We're just starting this. And now they have to go, they're talking about the fire of truth. So CT's like, I'd like to speak first if I could. All right. I can honestly say I've really tried to play this game as open and honest. Oh God. Yeah, really?
Kyle Richards.
You're going to pull out Kyle Richards terminology?
We should have known.
And you're teaming up with a hat person. Listen, I love your butt and I love your big belly and I love all your hair and your beautiful, soulful eyes. You're dead to me, sir. You just died to me with your open and honest.
We should have known he was going to be deceitful the moment he said he's playing the game open and honest. Okay. Yeah. Cause by the way, he's not playing it open and honest because he's turned on people. Okay. Cause Phaedra may have been a traitor, but she was loyal to CT and she was going to protect CT and he turned on her a long time ago.
So. Yeah. So he's like, you know, I'm like a workhorse, so that's why I'm still here, you know. And, you know, I always like try to play with my strategy, a burden to hand.
I was like, how did I ever like you? I like everything you're saying in this monologue is making me hate you.
Who says that? A bird in the hand.
Trishelle's like, I'd like to call the manager. Someone here is holding a bird. I just feel like that's unfair.
He was holding a bird in his hand, and then he slammed it up against my window.
That was the omen. That was CT's bird. What was the bird that's in his hand, by the way? Does anyone have a bird in the hand in this game?
A bird in the hand is better than two birds in a bush.
Yeah, but all the birds are in the bush in this game. There's no birds in your hand. You just hold it onto a croissant.
Listen, this game I've pretty much relied on a bird in a beret.
TT, you're just jerking off. That's what you're doing. That's not a bird that's in your hand.
Gross. So Trishelle...
you're the one having sexual fantasies about him. So Trishelle's like, yeah, Kate, explain that. Well, sorry, because CT's like, you know, there have been a lot of suspicions, especially about you, Kate. And Trishelle's like, yeah, Kate, explain that. Because I want to know that. Because I came in mid... Oh, sorry. Kate's... Okay, I'm just gonna stop.
I have suspicions. You better explain yourself. Okay, it's like, oh my God, like I came in mid-season, so there was already relationships, and you know, my only chance to stay was forming an alliance with Bravo people. So I did that. So I mean, look, it was already set up for me. So if you don't like me for that, sorry. And they're like, oh, okay. But what about Phaedra? Did you think that she was a traitor? And she's like, yeah.
And she goes, but then why did you keep her if she's a traitor? We're like faithful people. How could you do this?
By the way, I still think it's funny that CT says, Kate, there have been a lot of suspicions about you. And Trishelle goes, yeah, Kate, explain that. Like, why should Kate have to explain why there are suspicions about her?
Yeah.
You're the one who came up with them. I mean, except for the fact that Kate acted suspiciously. So
Kate would be sitting so pretty if she didn't do that Phaedra thing.
Yeah,
she would. No one suspected her at that point.
Yeah. So Kate's like, well, you know, I defended Phaedra because it felt like she, it really mattered which traitor we got at first. I didn't like come back to play this game so I could like do the missions. Okay. The missions are stupid. We all agree. We just did one. Wasn't that stupid? It was really stupid. But what I do like is like the round table because I'm good at noticing quirks about people and I enjoy when I find a traitor. And that's why when I got here, I had fresh eyes. I could see that Dan was being defensive. It's not because Sal was a traitor. It's because it was acting like Sandra. And my gut is telling me that you're a traitor.
So MJ's like, well, Sandra, you're a traitor, and I think you were recruited because that's what my gut said, but then I'm not a traitor. I think you're not a traitor. I could be a traitor. I definitely think you're a traitor. Yeah, damn it. So then MJ's like, you know, I thought Sheree and Phaedra were traitors, but then I thought they were protecting me. But then, so then Sandra comes in and she's like, okay, you know, I'm confusing myself. They're all going off on who they think is a traitor, right? So then CT's like, well, I just don't like playing this whole thing telling everybody what they want to hear because it feels dirty to me and I don't like it. So I'm just going to put it on the table. Sandra, I do think you're a traitor, and now you're coming for me. She's like, I was only coming for you because Kate said you were coming for me. He's like, that ain't true. But it is true, and I panicked. And then she said, oh, my God, I need a plan B.
Yeah. Yeah, you only came up here because of my conversation with her, and I regret that. The minute she scared me about CT saying my name in the car, like, that was panic mode for me. I was like, oh my God, here I am. I'm gonna be the one writing down CT's name So anyway,
Sandra's like, you set me up. And Kate's like, I did not set you up. She didn't set you up. She did set me up. I didn't set you. I'm extremely lazy. I would not have taken the time to set you up.
The only thing I set up are tables, and I'm no longer a chief stew, so...
I'm off the clock. I don't work unless I'm on the clock.
So. You guys realize I hate all of you. Like, I wouldn't set up one of you over the other, because you're all equally stupid in my mind.
So then Sandra's like, if you guys do this, I'm going to stand up there like Peppermint stood up there, and like Max stood up there, and you're going to say, damn, I fucked up. I thought Sandra was a traitor. Here's what I say to you. Has a traitor ever picked up pool balls to explain numbers to you?
Players, the time for talk is over. It is now time to vote and avoid murder.
So everyone, Trishelle's really flummoxed because she thought the plan was to vote for Kate, and it was an unflappable plan, but now all of a sudden CT's talking that he wants to get rid of Sandra, and she's confused. And so Trishelle is just being very Trishelle, like she wants to speak the Mandarin of her chalkboard because she's like, she's writing things down. She's like,
well, she's right to be like, what the fuck with this guy? Because they're like, we'll tell each other everything. And then he kept all this stuff from her. So I get why she's like, what the hell? But yeah, she's not a very subtle person. She's like,
yeah. So now they go around the table. And so Kate, of course, votes for Sandra because it's, you know, if she's going to. MJ votes for Sandra because MJ woke up feeling like Sandra is a traitor and she's in the military. And then Sandra is just like, Kate, like, I voted for you. She's like, she just knows it's definitely going to be Kate, but the tide is turning against Sandra.
Yeah. And so there's two votes for Sandra, one for Kate. So then if Sandra receives one more vote, and Trishelle's like, Sandra, I put Sandra's name down because I just want to be with the majority vote. So I guess if it's wrong, I didn't do this, you guys. It wasn't me.
Sandra, you have received the most votes and are banished from the game. Prefer CT. Can you please reveal your choices?
So he also votes Sandra. You know, so she's gone. She's a goner. So she goes to the circle of truth and is like, my heart is really broken. I never once doubted you. I never once doubted you at all. And I don't regret anything I've done in this game. I'm a faithful. Good luck, guys.
Yeah, and I like that she chooses people. She's like, I didn't doubt you. I didn't doubt you. I didn't doubt you. All right, just...
until you make it right by me.
Whatever you do to me has already been done to you. A little silly accent.
And I believe.
Okay, Fantasia, that's enough.
And I am here.
I was singing Fantasia's American Idol song.
mixing my Fantasia scenes.
I got my Survivor wings. I got my traitor experience. I've got my oversized poncho, and I'm walking out of here.
I've got my Red Ball. I've got my Red Ball here. I've got a Red Ball, etc.
You're just picking up different balls, Sandra.
I believe I know billiard balls better than anything else in my life right now.
Oh, my God. So, also one thing missing from the Oscars, well, a lot of things, girl power. How would you have an entire Oscars in the year of Barbie and give everything to fucking Barbenheimer? What a joke. And then you don't put Fantasia in the Oscars. How did Fantasia not get an Oscar? No matter what you think of her acting, do you know how much Fantasia has gone through? Do you even Oprah, bro?
Yeah.
That's what I say to you, Academy.
But congratulations to Billie Eilish for this.
She sings that song. Okay, whenever the sun starts to come up, Bueller wakes up. He wants to get up because I'm old now. That's how I'm old and drug free, so I get up at 6 a.m. So when it's time to get up, Bueller starts doing this. Because he knows he'll get in trouble if he cries, so he just does this, like, and that's how Billie Eilish sings that song. She's like,
what am I made for?
Okay, so Sandra, come to the circle of truth. Also, I didn't really notice this until a listener pointed it out this week. Sandra's poncho game really is strong. Have we even talked about our ponchos?
We haven't, but wow. I love that camel skin. The camel hair, not camel skin, the camel hair.
The poncho I've ever seen was Via. I mean, nice job.
Yeah, no, she has great ponchos.
She does.
So Sandra is, she's gone.
My great-grandfather, Jiddy Hunna, got run out of Mexico by Pancho Villa. They were trying to murder my Jiddy because he was like, a conservationist and the government.
Don't put on lip gloss while you're telling a story about your grandfather getting run out of Mexico by Pancho Villa. No, this is not a lip.
Obviously, I wasn't around.
Did I tell you the story? But my grandfather.
Pancho Villa tried to kill my great grandfather, Jiddy Hunna.
This is why you all need Crap Is On Demand, so you can see Ronnie applying his lip balm or whatever. Did you not hear the story about how my grandfather, my city, was run out of Mexico by Pancho Villa?
He was, because he was like a conservationist, and then the government was like giving away land to all their rich friends, and they were chopping down all the trees. I don't know, that's what I was told. Okay, anyway, back to the show. My lips are now done. Surgical of truth. And Sandra's like, my heart is broken. My poncho will never be the same. So she's out. And Trishelle's like, oh my God, what a colossal mistake you guys made.
I'd like to return this garment, please. Hmm. So now they have to go. Alan's like, well, our little game is careening towards a climax, but it's not quite over yet. Once again, I hand the power over to you, and you will each get soon face a choice: end the game or banish again. By the end of the night, we will know if any traitors remain, and more importantly, who is taking the money home.
This is the ultimate act of self-empowerment.
Oh, okay. You're a real, I almost said Don Rickles. Who's that trying to say? Who's a self-help? But you're a real Tony Robbins there.
Okay? Real Joel Osteen.
So Kate's like, oh my God, how did I get the least amount of accusations this evening? Morons. And Trishelle's like, oh my God, everyone else is so at fault right now. I'm so mad about it. I'm like so furious. I better get a free dessert.
That's what she wants. I want the banana cream pie. You know, so this is where Kate not putting any suspicion on Trishelle is a mistake, because now everyone's like, oh, well, we got it wrong with Sandra, so it has to be Kate. But there's no reason why it has to be Kate. Like, we know it has, like based on their logic, it has to be Kate. But, like, there's no reason why it can't.
They're always
be,
like that, though. If they didn't, CG, if they had two choices and one of them wasn't the killer, they're like, it must have been the other one. As or like, you no. were wrong two times.
Yeah, you could have been wrong twice.
Yeah. So then Alan now he like does the one-on-one interviews, right? Because it's almost a fire of truth. So first he sits down with CT, and CT's like, oh, you know, my nerves are shy here, brother, you know. Just when you think you got it all figured out, then, you know, things change. But, you know, I guess we're going to have to stick to our plan to vote out Kate.
Mm-hmm. And then MJ is like, I trust Kate, Trishelle, and CT, but there has to be a traitor to eliminate because Sheree was murdered, and all I want is to end the game and share the pot with the faithfuls.
So, which, by the way, why kill the faithfuls? Like, I hate this strategy of like, oh my God, I just want to share it with other good people. And I think this is somebody
who's like,
well, you have
to, because if you have a traitor in there, you lose all the money.
Right, but you want to be the only faithful standing, right? You want to win all the money. You still have to be greedy.
No, but if you're the only faithful standing, you want to be the final two, basically.
Well, right. But what happened later? I mean, everybody knows who's listening to this. I don't know why I'm acting like it's such a spoiler, but I don't know. She needs to be more ruthless. I don't like this whole, like, I just want to end up with the other good people. And I feel like it's left over from Shaw's Sunset because, you know, they were so mean to each other on that show. And I think she's, like, probably taken so much shit from people about it that she's like, I'm going to prove that I am loyal. But it's the wrong time. It's a game show. Like,
yeah.
She had timing.
Well, I think that like this is a big learning lesson for the next season of The Traitors, which is that like if you find yourself in a final four and you know that one of them is a traitor, then what you do is you keep the traitor for one round because you know that if you get rid of the traitor and you're down to three, then you run the risk. Then you're at the mercy of some other people. But if you vote with the traitor in the final four, you can vote out the person who you trust the least, and then you pair up with the other faithful, and you get rid of the traitor.
That's a lot.
I know, that was a lot. Sorry.
Don't be sorry.
I stopped listening to myself. I was actually just watching you open up that Topo Chico. Now I kind of want one. I kind of want the other Topo
Chico.
Have it
here. That's why I have another one. I knew you'd change your mind.
Yeah, I did. Okay.
You're nowhere like off? Me. No. Yeah, that's why you have to have your wine key here.
All right. I got my wine key.
Okay, yeah, we just needed to take a moment to think about all that. It's just a lot. Okay, so then
it's hard to
Kate's like, I mean, I hate it. Like I like everybody. I hate it. Just burn the castle down. And he's like, are you going to be able to handle it? You're my last traitor standing, my little murderer. And she's like, well, you know, this one's going to be a difficult situation, but I'm going to lie to these idiots and I'm going to take all the cash. And God, I really hope somebody cries.
I can't be the only person who cheered on my couch. I was like, yes.
Welcome to the Fire of Truth. By sunrise, this will all be over. So make this evening count.
And of course, Trishelle's like, I'm summoning a king. So now it's the Fire of Truth. So they have to vote. They have to do their Kermit the Frog gender reveal. Either you're going to have a Kermit or you're going to have a Miss Piggy. One is orange and one is green. And so if you vote for the card, if you throw your card in the fire and it turns green, that means it's end of the game. The other is
banish again. So, so it's time. They all have these little satchels of chemicals that are going to make a different color in the fire.
Yeah.
And they have to hand in their satchels. And I thought this was going to be an anonymous experience. But actually, no, Alan's like, Kate voted green. And you're like, well, thanks, Alan. And so if everyone votes to banish again, except for Kate. So this.
Yeah, it shouldn't be. It should be confidential, right?
It should be a confidential.
Because it was a dead giveaway that it was her. Because she's the only person who voted to.
Let's end the game right now, please. Yeah. I think it's good. I think we got rid of all the. We got rid of all the traitors. I don't think it's an issue anymore. I think that murder was actually just an accident. So.
Yeah, I basically just, you know, I want to walk out of here with $20. That was my goal. Yeah. So. I mean, we're going to do it. So as long as I could take, you know, some of that soup, maybe in a Tupperware. I mean, I really don't want to have to feed my baby.
So Kate being the only one to vote to end the game was a really, like, I don't know if she was planning to lie and go further. I'm not sure. But look at Bueller.
Look how angelic he is.
Yeah.
He's like sitting in a ray of sunshine, snoring like a... I mean, he's snoring like a freight train.
What was I made for?
He's like...
What was I made for?
No, that's a full-on snory snore.
He does.
Oh my gosh, what a little angel.
You don't hear it on the podcast, but he does make a lot of noise.
That's why I'm always looking back there like, are you okay?
Yeah. He is. Here, I can take a photo of him because he looks really angelic.
Well, you know we're on camera. We're on a camera.
We already scampered away because a bird hit the window. Okay. So Kate votes green end the game, and I'm like, I don't know how Kate gets out of this one. My theory was that Kate thought it was going to be an anonymous draw, and so she gets called out, and it looks really bad for her. And everyone's like, Kate, you do remember that there's still a traitor amongst us? Like, someone was murdered last night. There's still a traitor here.
Yeah. Wait, someone was murdered after Sandra?
No, Sheree.
But Sandra wasn't the murderess. So yeah. Someone has to be murdered. Duh. So, sorry. I'm like, see, I couldn't play this game. I'd be like, no, everybody's gone. Prove it. Somebody's dead, Ronnie. Maybe they just choked.
Maybe the traitor from Traitors UK came over and killed them by accident.
Yeah. Maybe it was just an accident.
Yeah.
Kate's like, well, Trishelle, I voted for. So they have to do another vote. And they don't talk before the vote. They don't make an appeal. Or maybe it was edited out. I actually think that was edited out because Kate said that she was going to have to lie like crazy at the fire ceremony, but then they don't actually get to make any appeals. So I think they just were like, there's no point in showing any kind of, you know, like final statements because it's so obvious. So Kate makes her vote and she goes, well, I voted for you, Trishelle, because I had to vote for someone out of the three of you. And you're the person I would most think here's the traitor. And honestly, you're also the person I want to throw. I want to throw your beret in the fire the most. So,
you know, I just had to think, who do I hate the most? And basically you. So
basically, Trishelle, I am the manager and I'm sick of you calling me. So I'd like to vote you out. Thanks.
This was super weird that she didn't come in with some kind of a plan here. I was surprised.
I think she messed up.
This is the fuck up. So Kate is voted out, right? And she's out. So Trishelle's like, I voted for you. She doesn't even waste time with a monologue. And CT's like, yeah, you're it. And MJ's like, my dear Kate, blah, blah, blah. So she's out. And
so
sad.
It is sad, and Kate leaves, and you know, she says some stuff like, you know, I'd only like to win this game by sharing money with people who are my friends, and I think all of you are my friends, but I'm a traitor, so good luck, guys. Bye. So she's basically like, she gives like a little spiel about how, you know, she's happy she doesn't have to lie and backstep. She gives a spiel that sort of puts a nice spin on it, but I just still fully believe that she just messed up.
Yeah, it sucks. So then is MJ, she's like, thank God, or, you know, everyone's super happy because they're winning. So MJ is like, okay, this is it. We got the traitor out. That means we're all faithful now and we're going to split this money, right? So Alan's like, oh, poor Kate has been banished and she was a traitor once more. You may end the game here. Let's vote again. Kermit or Miss Piggy? And so they vote again. So MJ votes Kermit in the game. And she's like, if I'm wrong to love you guys, I don't want to be right. And then Trishelle and CT both vote to banish again.
And Trishelle's like, there's 22 pictures on that wall, and there's plenty of room for 5 traitors, especially when we got 3, one after another. There's someone that I have a suspicion about. Ha-boom! Red flame.
And MJ's face is just like,
red. She's like, oh my God, guys. Oh my God, guys, red. Oh my God. Oh my God, guys. Oh my God. Because I think at this point I thought at this point she realized, shit, they're teaming up against me. But I don't think she even thinks that at this point.
I don't know. Yeah, I think she knows really what to think, you know? She's like, it was over. And so now these two are really coming out of the closet with being monsters. So she goes, red, oh my God, why red? And CT's like, there's only one person here I'm willing to share that pot of gold with. And dun, dun, dun. So now they think there's traitors among them. Players, let us vote for the final time. So now they just get to vote again, which is super weird.
Yeah, so they're going to vote. Well, no, because they're going to whittle it down. So MJ's like,
there should be something like they just voted.
There should be able to have some discussion.
Yeah, something.
It was weird.
Voting again is weird.
So MJ's like,
fuck, this sucks. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. And I was like, please vote now, MJ. So she's like, shit, all right. Okay. So now they reveal their votes. So CT's like, well, I chose MJ. It's nothing personal. I just wouldn't trust anyone in this council unless it's Trishelle. Go Sox. And MJ's like, okay, well, I don't believe anyone here should be banished. Trishelle, I voted for you to show that it was a Sophie's choice. So as soon as she votes Trishelle, you're like, fuck.
Girl, if it's Sophie's choice, I'm rooting for the dingo. Take her.
It's a different movie, but that's fine.
I'm mixing my Meryl Streep movies.
Hey, still. But Sophie's choice, I'm rooting for the bridge in Madison County. So then
the dingo ate my Trishelle.
So Trishelle votes CT. So now they basically all voted for each other. They're all aiming guns at each other. So now
they're the Spider-Man meme.
Yeah, and
Spider-Man pointing at each other,
or like a John Woo movie. I feel like there's a scene in Face Off where that happened. So they are all doing that, and CT looks really sad at Trishelle that Trishelle would vote against him, because he was like, "Whoa, we're supposed to vote out MJ." Because I thought they were going to vote out MJ. So the fact that it went like in that circle,
it was shocking. That Trishelle and I was turned like, on CT. Of course, not that shocking, really, because Trishelle's an asshole. So I don't think anybody watching this was shocked that Trishelle chose to banish CT.
Yeah.
I mean, I was at first, but then I was like, of course she's going to fuck him over. This girl who cries and then, yeah, you don't trust me. And then he gets her the shield and does all this stuff. Of course she's going to end up turning on you. Of fucking course. It's Trishelle.
Of course. So then Alan's like, we've arrived at a draw. You must now vote one more time to attempt to break the deadlock. And I'm just like, we have to vote again? Just a lot of chalk tonight, guys.
Yeah. So
but this time they do get to plead their case.
Yeah, this time they get to plead. So CT's like, come on, I've been a good faithful. Like, what the hell? Why don't we finish what we started for real? Come on, Trishelle. She's like, well, but we had a plan, and the plan was to vote out Kate. And then, like, whenever we got to the banishment room, you were like, oh my God, I'm defending Kate. And then, like, you're saying Sandra did it. So, like, that's fishy, CT. There is something wrong.
He's like, yeah, but I also try to save you and protect you. And like when we were in the tunnel, don't you remember the tunnel? Yeah. Like I was so like being in the big dig, you know what I'm saying? And I'm like the only one that let you get a shield. And like, I've been following your game plan ever since. And MJ's just like, wow. And he goes, you know, I forgive it. You know, and I'm sorry if I made you doubt how I felt about you. You know, I never doubted you. And then she says, I just can't stop thinking about the fire sacrifice. Remember when you saved John over me? When you did that, I was like, and then I started to squeal because I was like, if that torch ceremony is the thing that turns this, if she winds up voting out CT because of that torch, I started to crack up about how petty that would have been. And then I was like, I want that. I want that stupid fire ceremony to come back and haunt CT.
Yeah, but he would still not learn his lesson. He'd probably call and be like, oh, you know, I guess I deserve that one, huh? Mm-hmm. And also, didn't he just kind of prove that he's on her side by...
He did.
Voting against MJ? I know.
I'm so upset annoyed that MJ voted to vote out Trishelle initially instead of CT, because then she would have won, you know? And actually, I forget where I read this, someone said that like CT and MJ actually had a very close relationship in the castle that was maybe not as, it was not shown as much on TV, which is why she voted against Trishelle, because she was much closer with CT.
Yeah, but CT just voted to banish you 2 seconds ago. Exactly. Why wouldn't you change your vote to be against CT?
That's what I would have done, right? So
you know that Trishelle doesn't trust him, that she's going to vote for him again, possibly. I mean, come on, bro.
So they have to now do the second, they have to vote again.
Okay, so now CT votes for MJ again, and MJ sticks with Trishelle.
Which I'm with you, like, switch over to CT now that CT's voted for you.
Not that it really would have mattered.
Yeah. Right.
But now, you know, of course, Trishelle votes for MJ. And she's like, it was just so hard for me. I just can't write down his name again. I just can't do it again.
Oh, God. Shut up. Shut up, Trishelle.
Shut up. So Alan's like, MJ, you have received the most votes and are banished from the game. Leave. Are you a faithful or a traitor? She's like, I'm a faithful. You guys are stupid. I'm so heartbroken. I'm not letting this go ever.
20 years from now, I will still be bringing this up, you cocksuckers.
As she should. So she leaves and she's super salty. And she's like, you know, it shouldn't have ended this way. She goes, I hope they regret it. We could have been celebrating, the three of us. We all deserved it. And I guess they just don't care. And she just sort of... she just goes off. And then Alan is like, are you faithful? Are you both faithful? And NCT's like, faithful, baby.
So clearly they just teamed up to get rid of MJ, right? Why were they cloaking it in all this, like?
So that's...
oh, but I didn't really mean to get rid of MJ. I mean, just feel like we're gamers. That's what we do. Why would we split the money with you, dummy? Like, we hardly get any money in here. You should have been smarter.
I think that they clearly did. But what I can't figure out, though, is... why would you flinch? Because if you flinch, you run the risk of one of you going home. Because by doing what they did, you know, if MJ had just voted the other way around, CT would have gone home. Like, it would, they lose all control by flinching. So I think Trishelle really did have a crisis of conscience, unless CT had told MJ. No, CT would never tell MJ, vote Trishelle off. I don't know, but either way...
I think they were like, okay, when it comes down to the three of us, let's vote to banish again, and we'll both banish MJ.
And then Trishelle flinched.
Right.
Trishelle flinched, but either way, I do agree that even though it was pretty clear that they were all three traitors, I mean, all three, you know... faithful.
It's only clear to us because we're watching it. Like, the answers. I don't know that it would be clear if I was there.
And to be fair, like, CT's logic is not terrible, where he says, you know, honestly, I only trust Trishelle, and I'm just not willing to risk it on any other person, you know, because if MJ had been a traitor, they would have looked like dumbasses. So, like, I get it, but it just was so, it was really mean.
I mean, it's the game. You know, and that's what you get for getting rid of the Bravo people. I mean, you just voted against Bravo people. What the fuck do you think is going to happen? You know, and I mean, I would have my feelings hurt too. I'm not saying she shouldn't have her feelings hurt, but ultimately it's a game that you got rid of your numbers and you let these two fuckers keep their numbers. And I can't believe that anybody would let Trishelle stay on the show. She's such a fucking monster.
Yeah. And I mean, the lesson is learned for future players of how you deal with those situations in the final four. You know, you have to really keep yourself safe. Even once you're down to like three faithful, you're not in the clear anymore. It's probably almost always going to be two people at the end. Now, I think that was the lesson out of this. So then the show ends. So they win. And
also, Ceree didn't take this much shit last year. I mean,
because we were rooting for Ceree. So last year, it's funny because we're like,
Ceree was really mean last year. I mean, Ceree already saved her ass last year. Because she was going to get kicked off. And from what I remember, Ari saved her. And then she was like, and then she immediately turned on Ari. And Ari was like, you know, I'm not going to play that kind of game. Take the money. I'm rich. Like, take whatever you want. I've got enough money.
Yeah.
And the audience was like, yes. And they were all happy for Ceree. But it didn't work out.
The funny thing is,
I think because Ceree's likable, right? Like you said. And Trishelle's Trishelle.
And we all were like, Andy and Quentin, you're idiots. You didn't vote out Ceree. You're so stupid. You should. They were doing what they thought was the nice thing, which was like, the three of us are good. Let's share the money. And now we're like, oh, here are the three people. Oh, you're such a dick. You're not sharing the money with the person that you think is good, when literally last season we saw what happened when people put in too much faith in the third person. So
you can't trust people. You can't trust fucking reality show people. Okay.
But again, it would all be fine if Trishelle did not talk so much about like being faithful and good and yada yada, and then she cuts out MJ, who I think was very clearly a good person, or I should say a faithful. So anyway, there was a reunion afterwards. We're not recapping the reunion but we can give some thoughts on it. You watch the reunion?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
So like, well, first of all, there were
Ek and Sue's boobs.
Her boobs were in the background.
Oh my God.
Big and beautiful.
I mean, she is so gorgeous, but there's something in those boobs.
Yeah.
And I don't mean like, no, they're fake boobs. Like, I mean, I'm assuming everybody has fake boobs now except me, and I'm saving up. But it's not even about that. They just kept moving. You know, like in the movie Alien, when there was an alien in that dude's stomach and it kept moving and then it popped out. They kept moving. I don't know if it's like she was flexing her pecs under there, but every time they showed the people below her, I was like, oh my God, what's going on? Her boobs were like dancing. I loved it. It was like the best part of the show for me were those boobs.
They were great. But they were
great boobs.
You know, one thing is that like whenever Andy Cohen hosts a reunion, we're always joking about how it starts, where he's always like, hi, Kim. Hi, Teresa. Hi. But since there are 22 people, there's 22 cast members on the Traitors, it was like the first 5 minutes were like, hi, Janelle. Hi, Dan. Hi, Kate. Hi, Deontay. I was like, oh my God.
It really was.
So I didn't love the reunion. Like, it was watchable and everything, but like, there were, I wanted Andy to really like, drill down and really go in on some of these people, and he really didn't get a chance to. I think it's because he had to cover so much ground. There were so many people to talk to, you know?
There was so much and so little all at the same time. I mean, it really was a clip show, you know?
The clips were too long, by the way.
It was just too much. Like, we just watched the whole show. We don't need all the clips.
We don't need a five-minute reminder of what happened during the season three times.
Also, like, these people aren't really getting paid enough to go at each other like housewives, and so I think there was, like, some hesitation on their part to just fight it out. I mean, right. MJ, of course, is a Bravo person, so she came for a full Shaw's reunion where she's like, I'm not forgiving anybody until the last 2 minutes of the thing, and that's when we have a buffet and, like, do a shot. Like, she's got in her head how this whole thing goes, and she's not going to forgive, and neither is Phaedra. Like, they're Bravo people to the core.
That was what was so good. That's what I loved about it, because the gamers spent so much time patronizingly saying, like, yeah, I think that they're, you know, they're gamers, they don't understand, like, we don't take it personally, like, we're gamers, I'm like, well, you seem to be rather upset that they're in their feelings, but right now you're in the Bravo space, and this is what Bravo, like, you do what great gamers do, but this is what Bravo people do, which is they are salty at a reunion and they know how to show up at a reunion.
Yeah, too. They give you shit for it at the reunion. What it is.
MJ, what I loved when MJ revealed that she had blocked both Trishelle and CT right afterwards. She goes, yeah, as soon as I walked out of that fire ceremony and I blocked both of them on Instagram, and they're like, you blocked both. She goes, why wouldn't I? Why wouldn't I? And I was like, yes, MJ, block them. Keep them blocked. And Trishelle was getting so mad. Trishelle was like, she's like, why are you still upset? I can't believe you're still upset about it. It's just a game. I'm like, you robbed her of several thousand dollars unnecessarily, and then you want her. You complained about that fire torch.
Oh my God, still going on against the fucking fire torch. You complained
about the fucking flame that didn't impact you whatsoever for weeks on end, and then you just want MJ, who just was robbed of several thousand dollars, to just get over it.
100%. Yeah.
No, Trishelle.
But it was funny because MJ did show up so bitter. I mean, it is kind of bad sportsmanship to just not be able to let it go. It is a game. And she showed
up. It's a reality show before it's a game.
She showed up like, I'm so mad. I can't believe it. And she was making snide comments every time. They're like, yeah, well, congratulations. She's like, yeah, jerks. Horrible people. They're evil. Evil one. You know,
I loved it. And then what also was funny was that Phaedra was so nice. She was like, oh, you know, I love CT. He is my castle daddy. And this is a sweet part. It was wonderful playing with Sheree again. And what do you think about Dan? He's trash. A piece of shit.
What a piece of shit Dan
is. He's a piece of shit. I thought he's a piece of shit.
Because Dan is such a piece of shit. You know, he still comes in here dansplaining every little thing, which makes me crazy. Like, you're officially terrible at this game. Everybody agrees, and even you agreed that you weren't great at this game, but he still comes in like, in this game, this is how we do things in this game, and it's just so condescending, like you said. It's a perfect word for these guys. So then he's explaining why he went against Phaedra, and Andy's like, why would you turn against Phaedra? And he's like, because, you know, my back's up against the wall, and that's what I do, and it's always worked, and this is the one time it didn't work, and I'm getting in trouble. Like, I can't believe that people are taking this so personally. You fucked someone else's game. Yeah. How is it not personal when you completely just turn against someone literally for no reason?
For no reason, where you didn't have to. Like,
there was no reason for you to pick her over Parvati.
Parvati or anyone else.
Parvati's the biggest snake, and you fucking know Parvati's the biggest snake. So why would you turn against Phaedra first? So
yeah. And
it's easy to say don't take it personally when you're the aggressor in the situation.
Absolutely. Also, there was like a nice moment where Andy, like, you know, spoke to Peppermint, and Peppermint was talking about how difficult it is being a trans woman. And, you know, in these sort of games, people come in with their own biases, which was a barely veiled dig at Trishelle, which I love.
She didn't fully come out and say, this Karen bitch came after me because not only am I black, I'm trans as well. It's like a double whammy in someone like that's eyes. And then they go into the town square and they start making one little ruckus. And then before you know it, the whole town is there with fucking pitchforks, you know, which is what happened. But she helped. She like tempered it. She was like, you know, biases, very, and like really thought it out. And still, Trishelle's just looking around.
She's looking around. Trishelle, who's
she's
wearing
for an elevator.
She's wearing like corrugated steel, like aluminum siding on her breast.
Like one of those, you know, those knife commercials late at night where they're like, knives can cut through Diet Coke cans. That's what she looked like.
She literally looked like a party favor, like a noisemaker or something like that. Or like that. It's like, you know, like she the did, middle just like coming up. She looked ridiculous. She did not, I don't think she really understood what Peppermint was saying.
No.
And I was disappointed that Andy was not, did not say, did not like go in on the thing that outraged all of us, which is that Peppermint had like a normal reaction to Trishelle. It was like a very regular reaction, and Trishelle acted like Peppermint was super mad.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, this isn't just like, oh, you got rid of the black trans person first. That's why you're a Karen. Okay, that would have been fishy on its own, but that's not really what it was. It was that Peppermint made a funny comment, and Trishelle's like, oh my god, Peppermint's like coming for me, you guys.
Peppermint's
oh
so god. Aggressive. Yeah, Peppermint. How aggressive she is. She's like hostile. And it was just the microaggression of it all. And then the insistent, like the way she acted in at the round table, it just left us all feeling really icky. And I just felt like that was a drop ball. I really wanted Andy to confront Trishelle with that.
Yeah.
And then Trishelle tried to make a funny about it later, because Trishelle was talking about how her strategy, she says on the show that her strategy is to lay low, and then in the middle of the game, she's going to start calling out people. And Andy's like, wow, you really did follow that strategy. She goes, I know, except for Peppermint. And in the beginning, of course, Peppermint, you know, like, of course, I with you, you know, that's what happened. And Peppermint just is looking at her like, I'm not going to laugh that off.
Still not funny, bitch.
Not funny at all.
Yeah. So some of that stuff, you know, what else happened? Oh, the Phaedra and Dan thing where Dan's just like, what? Why is everyone taking this so personal? She's like, he's a piece of shit.
In this game, you can't take things personally. You know, you say things and you do things. You do what you can do to get to the end.
And then he made a tweet later. He tweeted something that he asked. Later, he asked. And he was like, I hope you guys enjoyed this, because this is the last time you're going to see this face on reality TV again. So a lot of people were like, oh, is he mad because he got yelled at? Or he got, you know, told off by Phaedra? I guess I just did the same thing, right? Yelled at? I rephrase. Yeah. But he just got, like, told off by Phaedra. And so people are like, is he a big wuss or whatever? And people are like, no, he had already retired from the game. I think it's being a wuss. I think he's like, this isn't how you play. This isn't how real players play. You know what, Dan? You don't have reunions for Big Brother.
Also,
so you haven't been called
you don't
out
know.
Before,
that's exactly right.
Certainly, people have been pissed at you before. It's all not the first time.
All these CBS shows. Now, I haven't watched The Challenge in forever, so I don't know what their reunions are like. But I can tell you right now, the reunions on Big Brother and on Survivor are absolutely nothing compared to a Bravo reunion. So it's like
they do have Big Brother reunions.
Meaning that, like, you know, at the end of the finale, Julie Chen asks some little questions there. Yeah. But and like Survivor has usually a full 1 hour. Our reunion show, but like they don't know what it's like. And so if you want to talk about, you know, if you want to condescend to the Bravo stars about like, this is what it's like to be a gamer, well, this is what it's like to be a Bravo star, and you just stepped into their arena now. Okay,
you lost.
Also, Larsa and Marcus were there. Larsa, I feel like Larsa may have a new chin, I don't know, but they're just like talking. Larsa's like, yeah, I think I was like onto Dan, like XYZ and this and that. And then like in the middle of it, Andy goes, by the way, what's going on with you two? Yeah, I think we're just like learning each other a little bit, and we're just like trying to like figure it out, like, and like we're just like taking it one day at a time, like,
yeah, I feel like, you know, and like when I feel like it, it's like I feel
we're just
like
getting,
it.
We're just
so
like
I just feel like we really needed to like feel like it.
Yeah, I'm just, you know, wow. Just like, yeah. Yeah,
feel like.
What else happens? There's Phaedra. There was Janelle. Didn't really do much.
Sheree. I think the big thing was just
Kate kind of cracked me up, because Andy's like, "Well, Kate, you hated playing this game the first time. Why would you come back?" She's like,
I'm a mother now.
I was like, oh my God. Mm-hmm. Kate's become that person where she's
same.
Like,
I'm a mother. I do everything for my child.
But I did like that she's like, and this is the only time I get to get away from that fucking.
I know. I was actually going to say I needed to earn money for him. And I realized like, it's more than just me. It's about like my child and I need to support him. I was like, oh God, boring. But when she was just like, I just wanted to have a good night's sleep.
Yeah. What else? Didn't yeah, anything huge nothing, happen in this reunion?
Nothing huge that's like jumping to my mind. Like Parvati talked about, Parvati did not wear her headband.
John was annoying with his like,
oh yeah.
Well, Peppermint, you must understand that at the moment, of course it was a bad choice, but you're holding your head up high as you should.
Like, we made the best up, choice John. Because we made the best choice based on the evidence presented. And that's where I was like, where, Andy,
there was no evidence.
And this
and
is where
he said that. He goes, and there was very little. Okay, well, that's all you need to say. No, I don't need a monologue from your ass.
The only evidence you had was an exaggerated claim of aggression by Trishelle. And that there is the problem
that's
is
it.
That in situations where there is very little evidence, people just blindly trust people like Trishelle who totally weaponize, you know, people of color.
So then, what were you going to say about Parvati before I said, really?
Oh, I think it was that Parvati was shocked to find out that she makes that face. She's like, yeah, I didn't realize I make that face all the time until this show, and everyone was making fun of me for it.
Well, this show made me like Parvati. I do like Parvati now.
Well, Parvati is great.
I didn't dislike her before. I didn't watch her season, so I don't know.
Well, she has multiple seasons, and they're all worth watching. The reunion was entertaining, but we did not need like five minute segments showing us what happened in the season. Didn't need it. We need more time digging in, confronting people with the things that they did wrong, and I think
all right.
So
well, this was a fun season.
Wonderful.
Traitors.
It's amazing. Amazing show. I hope it wins all the Emmys.
Yeah. Well, we'll see, everybody. Thank you. We'll be here again probably next season, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Bravo's changing over again. Lots of new shows coming up. Top Chef is coming back.
Wow.
And Below Deck is coming back to our recap schedule at some point, I would assume. Just keep coming
probably
back.
Probably next week or so.
We'll see you. We'll see you guys soon. Thanks for being here. We love you guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Strolling the Park with Caitlin Clark.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
She's never scary, it's the Green Fairy.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Know Your Worth with Jason Kurth.
She's the wind beneath our Jennifer Wing.
Sip Some Scotch with Jessica Trott.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
The Bay Area Betches, Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
She's a little bit loony, Junie.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Chadley.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
We want to hang with Liz Lang.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She's quite the catch, it's Victoria Kotchett.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.